skies for amber waves of grain.
Really, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And we welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295, but please hold your calls, because we have with us back once again Paul David Collins. Paul, thank you so very much for being with us.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Now, would you like to tell our listeners about Elohim City and the bombing of the World Trade Center, and give that story? The complete story has never been told to the American people because of the cover-up by the media here in the United States.
Certainly. Timothy McVeigh and roughly a half a dozen other conspirators planned the Oklahoma City bombing during their stay at Elohim City. And that was a racist commune ran by, as you had already mentioned, the late Reverend Robert Millar. If I'm correct, I believe he's deceased now. He passed away. But Millar had been a FBI informant for several years. And the really interesting thing about this so-called Reverend, and I point this out in the book, is that one of his so-called projects involved the subordination of white supremacist objectives to a much more, almost, I'd say, anarchistic agenda. The plan involved the unification of white supremacist groups with black militant organizations and militant Hispanics and militant Indian Americans. And Carol Howe is the one who reported this. She was working for the ATF and was had infiltrated Elohim City. But this racially unified terrorist movement would overthrow the United States government. Now, such anarchistic-like movements are instrumental in the installation of totalitarian regimes. For instance, communist conspirators used anarchists to orchestrate a wave of terrorism that they would later exploit. In I believe, Homage to Catalonia, George Orwell revealed that once the anarchists had served their purpose, the Reds turned on them. And in 1918, Lenin had basically commented to the fact that the majority of anarchists don't know anything about the future. They write about the future, they talk about the future, but they talk about it without understanding the present. And that's what differentiated them from the communist. And the same held true for Miller's multiracial anarchist-like alliance of terrorism. Because had Miller's vision been realized, such a united anti-government movement would have been formed, and they would have provided the government with a pretext to respond with authoritarian measures. And once they would have served this purpose, they would have been cleaned out like the Trotskyist and the anarchist during the Russian Revolution.
But the thing was that Reverend Millar was actually an FBI informant. He was working for the government. So on one hand, he is agitating to overthrow the government. On the other hand, he's an FBI informant. What's wrong with this picture?
And furthermore, when the ATF was about to conduct a raid based on the information that Carol Howe had brought forward, and they were going to raid Elohim City, they were told to back off because of FBI assets that were in Elohim City.
And, of course, we know that Strassmeyer was there, and he was a German intelligence agent, probably working for the CIA or the FBI. Carol Howe was there. Her boyfriend was there. Reverend Millar was there. There was a couple of other people who were probably government agents. In fact, it's like they used to say at old Communist Party meetings, if anybody sneezes, why, a whole flock of FBI agents say, God bless you. They had actually totally infiltrated the American Communist Party, and the average communist had no idea. We'll be right back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And our guest this afternoon is Paul David Collins. His book is The Hidden Face of Terrorism. Paul, how did you happen to get involved in their study of history and the various secret organizations that are working behind the scenes?
Well, my studying began basically when I was a lot younger. Back when I was 18, I'd pretty much place it around there that I had gotten quasi-serious about the whole thing. But I really didn't start to put the pictures together until much, much, much later on. And with the book began as a thesis for a criminology class. I was going to write over state-sponsored terrorism. And when I started to look into the topic and do some serious research, I found that I could go a lot further than just one report. And but I didn't want to go any further until I was sure that it would have a favorable response to it. And so I pretty much used my teacher's response as the standard, which now I probably wouldn't in retrospect have done that because orthodox academia has a tendency to turn a blind eye to a lot of the facts. She didn't like a lot of what was said. A lot of it was too discomforting, but she had to admit that it was hard. She was hard pressed to argue with my contention, and when I came back with a favorable, that kind of response, I guess you could consider it favorable, I decided to go ahead and to expand upon it and to draw it out into a book.
All right, fine. Well, it's a fascinating book. It's got all sorts of interesting parts to it, and for our listeners who are just joining us, we've spent an hour with Paul talking about this, and we probably only do about page 30 or 40, and we've talked about the real cause of the Reichstag fire, and Paul, of course, goes into William Shirer's book, Rise and Fall of the Third Reich, and points out and actually quotes from the pages where the people had testified that Goebbels, the Minister of Intelligence, had bragged about how he had set the fire and laughed about how he had set the fire that, of course, precipitated the Nazi takeover. We'll be right back here in a moment. Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest is Paul Collins. We're talking about his book, The Hidden Face of Terrorism, and we were going to go into what happened at Elohim City. Now, everybody knows that the 168 people died there when this terrible, terrible explosion took place. But, of course, have we really gotten the complete story? Timothy McVeigh had actually written to his sister and told her that he was part of a secret special forces team that was involved with illegal activity, and there's a great deal to suggest that was true, because supposedly he was AOL from the government and yet working at federal installations that had to do with intelligence and mind control techniques, and that many people who knew him felt that he was under mind control. Certainly Terry Nichols was traveling over to the Philippines, meeting with Osama bin Laden's terrorists over there, and that has been totally suppressed from the American people. But they're the ones who taught Terry Nichols how to actually build a bomb, and he was meeting with a man named Ramzi Yousef and this Sheikh Khalid Muhammad, who now we're told was the man who was in charge of the 9/11 bombing, the mastermind of that. He's been captured by the American government, but they're not going to let this come out. They can't let the American people know of the relationship, first of all, between Terry Nichols and Timothy McVeigh and the special forces, and then their relationship to Elohim City, where, of course, almost everybody there was an FBI informant. And the last thing they want the American people to know is the fact there were many other people involved in this bombing. And what about the possibility that there were actually bombs inside the building? Did you look into that, Paul?
Yes. The funny thing about that whole aspect is that we're expected to believe that that an ammonium nitrate blast traveling through air, losing its intensity as it travels, is going to hit steel-reinforced concrete beams and bring it down, which it wouldn't have. And it just turns architecture on its head, because beams that supposedly should have fallen down had not fallen down, and beams that should have remained standing had fallen down, which suggested the placement of demolition charges within the building.
And I think the most interesting thing, if you've ever seen the pictures that that Charles Key put together, many of those beams that were supposedly blown down, they had sheetrock on them. It didn't even blow the sheetrock off of them. All you need to do is look at those pictures. They were cut with cutting charges, no question at all, which is why the government would not allow the defense to go in and inspect they would not allow them to touch anything or to take any specimens, and they immediately tore down the building and buried it. Because could you imagine what would happen if the American people suspected that there was government complicity in killing all those people? And then, of course, the legislation they tried to get through after the Oklahoma City bombing, Congress wouldn't pass it because it was doing away with so many of the protections we have in the Constitution. So they put those into the Patriot Act, and they got them through 46 days after the 9/11 bombing. Isn't that interesting? Go ahead.
Yes, well, what I found very, very interesting about the whole OKC bombing case was this character named Dennis Mahan, which was a former Grand Dragon. He was high up in the KKK, and he had graduated to, I believe, the Silver Shirts. He's a well-placed, very high-profile racist character in the whole white supremacist movement. He told Ambrose Evans Pritchard that he had suspected that Andreas Strauss-Meyer had connections to the government, and Andreas Strauss-Meyer had supposedly told Mahan that he had been involved with GSG-9, which is German counterterrorism, and that he had worked on the Bader-Meinhof case back in the 80s. And Bader-Meinhof, it's been known that the Central Intelligence Agency, there's good evidence that they were using them as a conduit to commit certain terrorist acts. And Carol Howe got involved with Andreas Strauss-Meyer, and she basically put on like she was his girlfriend, and was able to get into Elohim City. And she was working for the ATF at the time, and what happened was basically her investigation shifted away from Mahan and onto Strauss-Meyer and onto Elohim City, and she reported to her case officer that one of the targets for a bombing that they were planning was the Murrah building there in Oklahoma City.
And that's why the government wanted to send her away to prison, because they didn't want that information to come out at Timothy McVeigh's trial. And so they were willing to send her to prison for 30 years and destroy her life. A woman who had actually infiltrated this terrorist movement, the terrorist camp at Elohim City, because she thought she was protecting her country, without realizing the country and the leaders of it were willing to destroy her life to keep the American people from learning the truth, and that is that they had advanced knowledge that the Murrah building was a target and did absolutely nothing. And there were several places that they'd got that information. We have videos, interviews with other people who told them about the coming bombing of the Murrah building, and the government said, oh, we had no idea this was going to happen. How could that terrible Timothy McVeigh have done that? And yet, was he really a covert government operative? That's what he told his sister long before the bombing.
Yes, well, the FBI basically got involved and got the ATF to back off of a raid that they were about ready to do on Elohim City, because there were supposedly so many assets there and informants. Another organization that was involved in the OKC bombing was the Aryan Republican Army, and its leader, Peter Langan, was the son of a U.S. Marine intelligence officer, and he was arrested for robbery in 1992, and then the U.S. Secret Service intervened on his behalf and negotiated his release on a signature bomb. And there are several oddities surrounding numerous heists that the ARA had pulled off, causing many researchers to believe that it was that the ARA was nothing more than a government black op from the very beginning.
Well, there's so many strange things that go on there, and certainly there were other people involved in the bombing. There was, of course, John Doe, too, who was identified by a number of people who was in the truck with Timothy McVeigh, and yet the government actually had him under arrest, and then they let him go, and they repeatedly denied that he existed when the young lady down there, a reporter for Channel 4, tried to get that information out. Why, of course, somebody turned around and sued her. Everything has been done to destroy anyone who's looked into Oklahoma City. There was a fellow named Hoffman who investigated that, as I remember, and he got into some terrible, terrible problems and was indicted for trying to influence a grand jury or something of the sort. I think he sent them all copies of his book on what had happened. But I know a friend of mine had actually... I won't get into some of the other things, but there was so much to this story that the government had to suppress. In fact, if you read Stephen Jones' book, Others Unknown, he will tell you how discouraged he was after the trial when he suddenly realized you could not get to
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.